grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Our text is from St. Luke's account of the Transfiguration of Christ, chapter 9, verses 30 and 31. And behold, two men talked with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. As we listen this morning to the story of the Transfiguration of our Lord, our first reaction may well have been a feeling of how utterly remote this is from life as we in fact experience it, from this world as we know it. It's certainly a very mysterious story. The unearthly heavenly radiance of Jesus' face and garments, the appearance with him of Moses and Elijah to men already long dead, the bright cloud which overshadows them, and the voice from the bright cloud, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Yes, here we're dealing with experiences of which we know little or nothing at all. All to do with unimaginable heavenly glory and seemingly nothing at all to do with humdrum reality. Life as we know it, the life that is yours and mine. But if we were to see Christ's transfiguration as nothing more than a brief glimpse of heavenly glory, we wouldn't have fully grasped what St. Luke is telling us as he writes of Christ's transfiguration. The key to understanding is found in the words of St. Luke, "Behold, two men talked with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem." His departure, which was he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. At once, the shadow of the cross appears. Moses and Elijah were themselves suffering servants of God in their day and generation. Just think of Moses' thankless task of leading an endlessly complaining, ungrateful, almost invariably disobedient throng through that journey of 40 long years in the wilderness. Just think of the prophet Elijah, whose hard lot it was to be God's messenger in one of the worst of times, to be sure winning some signal victories over the prophets of the false god Baal, but also fleeing for his life from the wrath of Queen Jezebel, cowering in a cave, feeling very sorry for himself, despairing of God's chosen yet disobedient people, bitterly lamenting, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So here we have two much suffering saints of the Old Covenant. And in their conversation with the gloriously transfigured Lord, the shadow of Jesus' cross, Jesus' departure, soon to be accomplished in terrible and bloody reality at Jerusalem. What a strange sort of glory this is, and what on earth are we to make of it all? Three things at least. The first thing to note is that our Lord's transfiguration isn't so remote from life as we might first imagine it to be, because it's not only a revelation of the glory Christ had with his Father from all eternity, it's also a revelation of his love. For Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. And so the transfiguration is a revelation, an epiphany of the love that brings the eternal Son down into this humdrum world, so that through his suffering love we might be forgiven, cleansed, made whole, and in the end raised up and made partakers with him of the life and the joy everlasting. A second thing to notice is this. What happened to Christ happens to us who have been baptized into his death. Christ's whole life was lived under the shadow of the cross, just as we have heard as we celebrated his birth. There was no room for him in the end. The wood of the manger foreshadows the wood of the cross, the swaddling clothes, the linen cloth that would cover his lifeless body. Yes, our Lord's whole life was lived under the shadow of the cross. And as those who have been baptized into his death, you and I also live under the shadow of the cross. Jesus' cross, which saves us. And also our cross of suffering, the daily struggle with sin in all its ugliness. The cross of perhaps being thought very strange and rejected, because we follow him. We live under the shadow of the cross. Growth in grace there can be, an increasing joy in Christ's forgiving love, an ever more confident hope in him there can be. But in this life, we always live under the shadow of the cross. Christ's glorious transfiguration was a glimpse of the resurrection glory to come, but only by way of the cross did our Lord come to the glory of the resurrection. And as it was with him, so it is with us who are his. God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." listen to him. How we need to take these words to heart in a time when so many strange and indeed evil voices want us to listen to them. In a time when so many seem ready not to listen to the transfigured Son of God, but to those wonderfully seductive voices which would have us believe that a God without wrath saves a people without sin through a Christ without a cross. A third thing to notice is the connection between Christ's transfiguration and the divine service that takes place every Lord's Day festival. On the mountain of transfiguration, not only Moses and Elijah are witnesses of Christ's glory, the apostles Peter, James, and John are there too. In every divine service, we hear in the first reading from Holy Scripture the witness of the prophets, as this morning we heard some words of Moses. Then in the second reading, we hear the witness of the apostles, as this morning we heard St. Peter's witness, his eyewitness to the transfiguration. And then in the gospel, Christ himself appears, and we go on to worship with angels and archangels.